I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 222.
Kevin's not here to make it right.
I know.
All of us are like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's a milestone.
Yeah.
Hey, it's three of the same number.
There you go. And we're back. Skipped a week.
There it is, yeah.
Because I was too tired.
Yeah, you had a... Dan couldn't see it. Tom was out doing his thing, and I was like...
This is just silly at some point. Like, yeah, it's like, well, I read the novelization. Does that count?
Kevin, I think Kevin was the only one that was excited to see that movie.
Yeah,
that sounds about it. I wanted to see it. And
when they described it as X-Men meets Harry Potter, and I was like, nope.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Not by Tim Burton. It doesn't.
You know, the Tim Burton hate. I was looking at his
15
like
15 years ago. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. I was looking at his like his catalog.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because like Entertainment Weekly had like, you know, like his best to worst.
Yeah.
And they put like Sleepy Hollow way at the bottom. I'm like,
So that is
slow your roll. That's
a good flick.
I mean, if you're especially a Hammer Horror fan.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his Hammer Horror movie. So I was kind of like, that's bull crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got into this exact same discussion. Like, how do you not like Tim Burton? He did Batman. And I was like,
whoa.
It was Batman. That gets a pass. Batman and Batman Returns gets a pass because that's Batman.
Yeah, but Batman Returns was definitely more Tim Burton.
I don't disagree. You're correct, but it also had Batman in it.
Yes, yeah, so, no, I know, but I think...
Well, so did Batman Forever.
Yeah.
If that's your logic.
The camp is fantastic in that
I mean,
movie.
So did Gotham.
It's so campy.
No, it didn't. Sorry, it won't. No,
Batman and Robin was the worst.
Okay, Batman, that's what I meant.
Batman Forever was pretty good.
It doesn't hold up.
There's no
really? It doesn't?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Let me explain something. There's no such... I say this to my kids all the time. There's no such thing as a wrong opinion, but in your case, we're going to make an exception. It's not a good movie.
No, Batman Forever does not hold up.
All right. It's been a while.
I think Batman Returns holds up probably the best out of those early four movies.
Really?
Yeah, because it's got the look, and I mean, it's the dark Batman, and everybody got mad, McDonald's, especially.
When he blew up a guy's balls?
Yeah, because, you know, they're like,
Were they McDonald's? I thought it was Taco Bell.
Taco Bell was the first
movie, and then it switched? Okay.
Yeah. No, because they were like, huh, we can't have Happy Meals of this character. And then they saw the penguin. They're like, what? No, that's going to terrify children.
Where's Burgess Meredith?
Yeah, it was.
That's what we were thinking. Oh, no.
He just ate a guy's face. You could see, like, Michael Keaton, like, he's got a kind of the sadistic grin on his face when he's, like, driving over people or setting them on fire or blowing up their nuts. And I was like,
In daylight, mind you.
Yeah,
that whole sequence takes place in the daytime.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. That's Batman during the day is just strange to me.
Weird Tim Burton movie.
Strange, right?
I'll have to revisit this.
Yeah. Please do.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I honestly, like, I don't think any of those movies hold up very well.
I have rewatched
But I will say this in their defense. They were a necessary step. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he moved the ball forward
as
much as it could have been moved forward in 1989.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say, you know, it's kind of like when you watch something like Thunderball. You know, a James Bond, early James Bond movie.
Now, does Batman blow those up too?
Yeah.
Could. Made of thunder.
It's called the Thunderball.
That's why they're called the Thunderball.
Yeah. But when you watch those, I mean, yeah, they are like pretty adhered to the time.
Right.
So, I mean, they're a little dated. Well, it's that they're dated, but they were the catalyst of like what comes after that. And there's so many other ways that they were going to go on those Batman movies. That and the same thing with Superman. They were going to make Batman like a comedy, and they were have all these different people.
They did turn into a comedy,
and
not unbeknownst to them.
Yeah, but you know, so like it was like he was. I'm fine with having him do it versus some of the other options that they had considered. Because
you mean in '89
or
I don't think you could have picked a better. Though I don't think the movie holds up all that well,
right.
You could not have picked a better director at that point in time to make a Batman.
I mean,
I do agree with that.
The movie's got. That's why you see the big gap between Batman and Batman Returns.
Was it 89 to 91?
Well, yeah, but the gap also in, like, you can tell that there's John Peters' influence, who his girlfriend at the time was Kim Basinger, and her favorite artist at the time was Prince. So you've got that. And then you got the next movie.
John Peters was banging Kim Basinger?
Yeah. So
she traded up with
Alec
Baldwin.
And you remember, you know, him and that Nicholas.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Superman documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you got that kind of like his influence. And then you got Tim Burton, who had more clout to make the second movie. All of a sudden, there's some silliness that has disappeared, you know.
Along
like,
with Kim Basinger.
Yeah, like Kim Basinger's gone. You don't have a soundtrack by Prince that just, you know, was a little excessive.
Yeah,
a little. You
know? I was a huge Prince fan, but even I was like.
Bat Dance?
I'm like, I don't like these songs. And they're too long.
I had that soundtrack on a tape.
Everybody had it.
It was the theme, like the Danny Elfman stuff.
It was issued to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. On the flip side, I never listened to the Prince stuff. I just want to listen to the Danny Elfman stuff.
But, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a... I'll say that I think Tim Burton has kind of slummed it for a while. And I think
the one that everybody kind of goes back to is Big Fish.
Yeah, that was his Oscar grab.
I just didn't care.
Yeah, didn't work, but that
it
was
didn't
the goal.
Work.
What was the other one that they... The one,
Big Eyes.
Big Eyes, that's what it was.
And that was good. Big Fish was better, but Big Eyes was good.
You know, he needs to... I think maybe just divert. I think he needs, like, even Spielberg has done the, you know...
The one for me, one for you.
Yeah.
And he had a period where, like, there was some... Always was, like, Spielberg kind of slumming it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that was
But he loves that movie.
He does, and it's
like
just
you see
sort
that
of,
movie in Poltergeist. They're watching.
Oh, really?
They're watching the movie that because Always is a remake.
Yeah,
and they're watching that the movie it's a remake of. You see on the screen.
You see the original one
in Poltergeist. Yeah.
Yeah, a guy named Joe.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So there you go.
No, I was just talking about you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, just a guy named Joe.
Hi. Right.
So here's a thought: we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Oh, all right. This is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. Kevin is out. He's in Disney World making a hurricane salsa.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, you know, that one day where they closed the park down, that's how babies are made. That's how it's like, whoops. What were you doing on that day? We couldn't do anything else. We got stuck in the hotel room because of Hurricane Matthew.
I don't know. If it's a hurricane, shouldn't you blow?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Just in honor of the hurricane?
Just in honor.
That's, yeah. I mean...
If we're going by the storm,
that seems like proper etiquette to me.
That's true.
But you know me, I'm a stickler for etiquette.
I'm just shaking my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to divert us back. Dan.
I know. Like, I can't even. There are no words.
No.
There we go. All right.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe. What would you say, Joe, if I told you that we had a new review?
I'd say you're a liar.
I am not a liar.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We have a new review.
That's great.
A new zoo review.
Yeah.
Coming right at you. That's just for
never good. No, no. I've been on this episode, this show enough.
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
You haven't seen the stuff firsthand,
nope.
But you're
Henrietta Hippo.
Yeah. What was the name of the frog? The frog was
Freddy.
My favorite. Freddy the Frog. That was. Yeah. They were so creative. like, at least it wasn't Pepe. So we have a new iTunes review. So, RB Ives. I don't know.
I
he was kind enough to give us 5 stars, which is nice. And he says, looking for a movie review podcast filled with childish humor, chicken sounds replacing profanity, and an old-timey box office report of billions of dollars still being counted on an abacus? Well, you've come to the right place. This guy hits every one
he
of
does.
Our...
He does. Yeah, he nails it all.
He's not even close to done. He hits... This guy is a listener, man. He hits every one of our benchmarks. So, in response to empty threats that they might cover even worse movies without new iTunes reviews, here you go, guys. As someone who's worked on many of the films roasted here, so I don't know if he's I don't know. It's always fun to get their take. The banter is funniest when all four are in the bunker, and they usually cover the big release of the week in depth. Most importantly, they respect that even if they aren't the film's target demographic, it can still be lots of fun. Whether if a movie is Oscar worthy or bottom of the barrel, they can always find some good and bad, unless it's from Zack Snyder.
There are Dawn of the Dead's a good movie. That's as far as I can get you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Is that the That's the thing now. Is that the exception?
Is a remake.
Well,
it's not a Zack Snyder movie.
It's a remake. Yeah. I don't mind Watchmen. And
I like 300.
Although,
yeah, I like, well.
Although,
Watchmen and 300 are both good.
Okay, but all he had to do was film what was on the page.
Yeah, he
right.
just... I mean, he did,
really,
though.
I mean, if we're saying
okay,
that...
Okay, credit for that, but he really had to position the camera like, well, let me check here. That looks about right.
But I will for real give him credit for that, because so many directors are like, no, I have to fix this comic book.
And he did it.
And he was like, no, I have to capture this comic book.
And then he tried to fix a comic book that was unfixable.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be fixed.
And I think Sucker Punch... It's one of those ones. It's like I watched it the first time. I was like, that was a mess.
Yep.
But man, that was a good looking movie.
Yep.
So then I watched it again. I'm like, that's still a mess.
But man, that's a good looking movie.
Because I was like, Ellie, watch this. Do you think this is a mess or a good? So she's just like shaking her head. But
she's like, if you want to see girls in outfits like that, I have one in the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've heard her on a podcast.
Yeah.
And
so
we know
that that's true. You know, there is another 50 Shades coming out. We got to.
Yeah.
Not for me. There's not.
She already asked.
We got to get them all back in here. It was a great episode. Anyway, RBI should be happy because we actually did a tangent within his review.
That's how we do.
I'm not done.
Real spoilers.
Oh, yeah. He says, keep up the good work, gents. And until next time, Tom's first marriage will never not be a running joke.
Oh, man.
You've been well.
That's fan. That's a good review.
That is a good
review.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my
very well done.
My new and improved wife. That was. She's like, that's the best review ever.
Yeah,
and I was
sure she was.
I'm sure, yeah. So,
right.
So thank you very much for that. And if
wife number one is like, I'm going to the lawyer.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
You've tried it before. Third time's a charm. Yeah, give it a shot.
Six, but, seven, and ninth, 20th time.
Yeah. Should I really tell the story? I'll tell the story, and then I can decide if Kevin wants to cut it out later. The last time she took me to the court, all that happened was, now I get child support.
Yeah. That backfired.
Well,
that she's like, no, wait a minute.
I was like, okay. Hey, while we're here, Your Honor.
No, you're totally right, Mr. O'Keefe. Thank you, sir.
So, if you would like to join our League of Show Sharers, you can do that. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, find the most recent episode, and click share. Maybe write a note about why you like the show so your friends just don't think that you have some sort of Facebook liking Tourette's, you know? So, people that joined the League of Show Sharers this week or re-upped, Dustin
paid their dues.
Yes, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Zach Bach, Tom Kaminsky, Michael Tonkovic, Alex Perozo, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Chris Sansochi, Griffin Fox Smith, Jason Antris, Chris Sanders, Linnea Thunsell, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Brett Schulte, Lane Levanway, and Timmy Tuzins. So thank you very much, guys. We greatly appreciate
that's awesome.
That. And thanks for the new review. That
was whoever,
nice
whoever
well.
That was.
And
thank
was,
you very much.
And it was very well written.
It was.
So it was a funny one. So we like that as well. So
always good to get it.
I guess at this point we will turn our eyes to the box office. Dan has Kevin's abacus at the ready, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know if he uses this thing right. But
that sounds about right.
I think it's a safe bet that he does not.
But looking at this and making some adjustments, it's amazing because I don't know the last time this has happened, but the movie of the week is the top movie of the week.
Magnificent Seven?
No.
Seven was number one.
Was that number one?
Yeah.
But we were on a stretch there for a while where
it was not.
Yeah.
But End of Summer's like that because it's just like it's there. It's
the dregs.
Just, yeah.
And a long time since before Magnificent Seven, the movie.
Since our last episode.
Since our other episode before this happened. The Girl on the Train is our top movie. with a nice $26.5 million.
I have a feeling, because I looked it up,
that tonight's going to be a good night.
A good night.
L'chaim.
That song.
That song's awful.
I can't stand, because everybody gets into it like when they start naming off the days of the week.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, I know this. Tuesday, Wednesday. It's like, really? Very good.
Yeah. I think it's just how they
school
teach
children.
I was thinking it's how they teach immigrants English.
Here, listen to this song.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
It's a bad song.
They're bad.
But so Gone Girl.
Yes.
A week to the day. So
really?
2 years ago, Gone Girl came out the same weekend. And I was like, I wonder if we're going to start getting... I wonder if the people who put this movie out were like, that did so well on that stretch.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, look at how
it looks exactly
Tom Hanks and Sully at right around the same time as Captain Phillips.
I wonder if we're going to see those other two books at some point.
Well, I wonder if if we'll be able to ruin this for a listener. Was it Chris Sanders that we ruined it for?
Oh, yeah.
Gone Girl. Like, yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. Oops. I will say, as you're listening to this, we'll get into it. That is, it is on the same level, spoiler-wise, as Gone Girl.
Yeah, it's definitely twisty turning.
So if you haven't seen the movie, you want to be spoiled. You want to be surprised. Don't listen to the show. Read the book. Watch the movie. Do whatever you want.
Well, read the book. Well, you know, I mean, I guess in our when we post, we can make sure in this episode we spoil this. And, oh, guess what? We also spoil this, and this. So
everything else.
Because we should kind of maybe asterisk that.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a $26.5 million on, you know, just like 3,200 screens.
What was the budget? I would say like 30
it or 40. Is not on here.
All right.
But
I would guess 30 to 40. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Man. I think they spend enough on train rental. They're on the back and forth.
Hey, Amtrak, how much is that going to cost us? Do you want us to wreck it or no?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's respectable. I mean, you built an audience with the book.
I have a feeling that's not what they wanted.
No, I think they probably would have liked
more. 35.
I think they were hoping for mid 30s. 40 range.
Yeah.
Has a $45 million budget.
That's a lot of money.
No.
But I guess you got some.
New York shoots are expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are expensive.
Emily Blunt probably isn't as cheap as she used to. That's a weird thing to say.
I think she carries the movie.
Yeah. And
she does.
We'll get into that later, but she was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was not what's wrong with this movie.
No.
No, I can't look. It's going to be a fun one. Number two, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, $15.5 million, down 46%.
Okay.
Sorry there. So a total of $51
million. All right. That seems respectable, I guess, for a Tim Burton movie.
You know,
Burton movie that's an original property. You know, it's not Alice in Wonderland. It's not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But it's not. It's based on a book.
But
Oh, I guess that's. Yeah, but I mean, like Alice in Wonderland. I feel like Alice in Wonderland and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory were kind of
You know, those were both
not
books,
based on a property.
Right?
I know they were a property.
Do you know what books are?
They come on your phone, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That's how I listen.
No, that's
to girl.
RedTube.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. So not.
Well, yeah.
That's not, me.
Well, I guess there's a shorter gap between this and originality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you didn't. Obviously, there were two movies before that with the other two.
And the other two were already iconic properties.
Yes,
this
is
a newer property.
A newer property.
We're trying to help you dig out of this one.
I'm just going to stop talking. Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's
a long morning.
It's
getting longer.
You know, it's still our biggest movie out there, screen wise, is 3,700 screens. I think maybe the pre-Halloween audience might still keep it afloat.
And it's like, and it's also like it's Halloween, but not something like
super scary.
Yeah, right. Like it's not going to freak your kids out too much, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, where the scary people are the heroes. You know, it's right up Tim Burton's alley. It just, you know, he keeps doing that. That's right.
Just, you keep trying, brother.
I know.
It ain't broke, I guess.
I know. I just,
we can debate whether or not it's broke.
I think it's broke.
Yeah, I think it's.
You know, I just kind of like now.
It's
at
being
this
held
point
together
where,
by duct tape.
Yeah.
And do we know? Did Danny Elfman do the music?
Didn't they have a huge
Oingo Boingo fan.
Didn't they have a falling out?
They
him
did,
and Tim Burton?
But I think they patched it up.
Okay.
I just wonder if the soundtrack's like la 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 la.
That's what I would. I mean, I feel like when you see it, that's exactly what it is. Like, that's what I hear when I see that those trailers. But okay. No.
Number three, the ocean movie, Deepwater Horizon.
Oh,
it's like Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 14.
You know, they're out there in the and there's an ocean and Marky Mark's.
Marky Mark punches the oil rig and fixes it.
Say hi to your mother.
He punches the oil spill
back into your gas tank.
Yeah. Get back into the water.
Yeah, it's $11.7 million, down 42%, with a total take of $38.4 million.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
I don't know.
That was the week.
I heard.
When was that?
Okay. Decent reviews.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
It was last week. Yeah.
He's kind of heading into, like, he's got that Boston Marathon movie coming out.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. He plays the marathon.
Yeah.
He plays the
marathon. Yeah,
mom.
Come on. Yeah. Catch up.
Yeah. I didn't realize. So I've seen, like, they show that on Facebook, right? So, like, it's just him in a cop uniform. And I was like, nope. I didn't realize it was the boss. Like, that. I feel like that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
When did that happen? 2009. 11? A
couple years.
12?
Ago. 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, something. Man, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
All right.
Caught him quick.
He's kind of in, he's getting his pattern, you know. Is he in the next Transformers? Okay, so
that's the Marky Mark
movies. He's kind of doing the one for them, one for me.
You know. Which one is for them?
Transformers.
I'm going to do one for them, and then I'm going to really do one for them.
I mean, we've seen him stretch. He was great in Boogie Nights. He was really good in The Fighter. Like, I would even say
Ted is a stretch.
Ted is very funny.
That was not the safe choice for him to make.
Right.
No, I.
There was Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's all he'd been doing.
That's such a weird movie in that, like,
they give it away.
That's our job. It's in that it was a hit, but it seems to have like zero and it was a big hit.
Yeah. I think it just kept sticking around.
But
though,
it has like zero like existence in like pop culture memory.
Right. I don't know why.
Nobody ever talks about it.
I think it's because it came out around the, like, I feel like American Sniper is in that. Like,
American Sniper was the next year.
It was? Right. So they were at the same time?
No, Lone Sniper and then Lone Survivor and then American Sniper came out the following year in that same time period.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I think it's just like one of the it's just that weird flick that people enjoyed, I guess, and they kept
making
money.
I don't think there's a lot of repeat viewing in those movies either, you know.
No.
Yeah.
They're sort of, I mean, even if they're not jingoistic, it's just...
No, that was a good movie. I've seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Jingoistic.
Yeah, Django.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things that's like, you see it, and then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's probably true.
You know, it's not like something that's like kind of the musical comedy of like the Serbian film or Antichrist or something like that, where you're like, well, let's just
like, I want to watch that again. Antichrist. I need to take a shower just when people mention that movie.
Go back and listen to one of our Halloween extravaganza episodes. And I believe it was you, right? You or Blake that talk about it.
Did you see the
I think Blake brought it up because he liked my review of it.
Oh, okay.
Because the opening line of my review was like, can you go to hell for having seen a movie?
You see a Serbian film? Did you see that?
No.
That's worse.
What?
Oh.
Have you seen it?
No.
No?
What's it called? Wow.
A Serbian film.
It's actually called a Serbian film. I just thought you couldn't remember the title.
No, it's a Serbian film.
No. Yeah.
Who's on first?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I'm a Costello or two.
You know, it's kind of like... you know the movie 8mm?
Yeah.
Yes. That they were like, oh, it's seedy and it's dark. This
Until they cast
is
Nicolas
what
Cage.
That movie wanted us to, you know, pretended to be.
Right.
This is.
Oh. Yeah, I mean,
even though, I'll put it this way. When you watch the movie, this I thought was worse than like Human Centipede, where you're watching it and you're like,
God.
I know this is only a movie, but I'm kind of at my threshold.
Right.
Of like,
yep.
This
I
is only a movie,
that.
But
I quit.
This is worse.
No. What do they do?
The hell with it.
No, I can't. I don't even want to.
It's just one long chicken noise.
No. That's all it is.
No. No, yeah, there's so much wrong in that movie. I'm like, oh.
I got 45 minutes into The Human Centipede, and I was like, nope.
This is worse.
Yep.
It's worse. I guarantee you.
I just read the description of Human Centipede and was like, I'm out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like, this is
like, there's
fun.
Never go ass to mouth.
Yeah.
Nah. Okay. No, Joe.
Well, I'm just saying. He was agreeing. Yeah. He should not do that.
Okay.
You are on the same page.
Speaking of number four, the Magnificent Seven, $9 million.
Oh, man, that's a huge, drop.
I don't know a lot, but I feel I can confidently say that Denzel Washington does not go ass to mouth.
Stop. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not Chuck Berry.
I guarantee. No. Denzel Washington, I guarantee.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
Have you seen that supercut of every time he says, like, I guarantee?
He says movies? It in every single movie.
Every movie.
It's made a supercut. And it's like 20 something movies of he has a line in there. It's like
guarantee.
People are like, is this in his contract that he has to guarantee that he will not go ass to mouth?
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, he says it all the time.
Now I feel like I have to go back and watch Magnificent Seven and be like, yeah. There it is.
It's got to be in there somewhere. I guarantee we'll get him. $9 million down 42%. Total box office take almost $76 million. So
That's all right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Western, and I feel like every time we talked about this, every time a Western comes out, we're like, is this going to bring back the Western? It's like, no.
No.
But the Western is never really going to go away. It just, you have to have that sort of perfect storm of like a director who's got enough clout. A star who wants to do it.
Yeah.
And a studio and willing to back it.
And that's why it's never going to go away, because
Everybody's going to want to do one.
There's too many actors that are like, I want to be a cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be the sheriff.
I want to be in a badass Western. Yeah. And I want to get shot off a roof.
I think it's okay if Quentin Tarantino moves on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of the West.
It's tough because like I don't really consider...
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I hope it's not in the West.
I feel like The Hateful Eight isn't a Western, and I only say that because like it's set in the West.
Yeah,
but
no, it's a
stage play.
Yeah,
set in West.
I just want.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He
was going to do Power Man or Luke Cage, and that didn't happen.
I don't think him doing a superhero or him doing a James Bond are two things I don't really need to happen.
Depends on the superhero.
He's too stylized to do a James Bond.
I agree with that.
He will make it. It'll be a...
He can't not Quentin Tarantino.
I do not want to watch...
And I like Tarantino, but you don't go to a James Bond film for Tarantino. When they were talking about Spielberg making a Bond movie back in the day, he would be a fine choice.
Sure.
He certainly has a look, but he doesn't...
He could skew his own personal
His directorial style is, one, I think, more lean into the direction of making a Bond-type movie. And two, he doesn't his directorial choices don't overpower a film.
Sure.
He doesn't have quite the same signature that just screams,
I don't want to see James Bond and Q talking in a diner for half an hour.
Yeah.
I do not want to see that.
It's
about
almost
the Avengers.
Avengers, yeah.
Not the superheroes.
No, the TV show.
Like, right. Are they going to get to the case?
Yeah. Now you said like a vision. You know who doesn't have a vision at all? Is Richard Donner.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing about a Richard Donner movie where you're like, oh, there it is.
There are a lot of directors that are successful and make good movies, but they don't...
But you couldn't pick them out of a crowd.
Yeah, Ron Howard.
Yeah.
John Favreau.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he's made some wonderful movies.
Yep. Like, but he's about to do The Lion King, which...
And I think it's a great... Based on Jungle Book, I think it's an amazing choice.
I think... But it's because of that
that
Disney were like, well, we weren't going to do Lion King, but you know what? He did such a good job with those animals.
Yeah. And I mean,
let him do that.
Yeah. And there are two directors right there that are
they have no look.
But yeah, you don't walk out going, now that's a Ron Howard movie.
Right.
Like, you don't. And I think they just have a different take on film, is that they're there.
Right.
They're there to serve the story.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that the other guys aren't, but they're more, you know, they're more like, they're like film project managers.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like middle management.
Yeah, they're like, we're here to make a movie. I need you guys set up over here. Is my craft service budget okay? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not like, I have a vision. And I'm sure if you ask them, they're going to tell you that they have a vision. And I'm sure they have an idea of what they want the movie to look like. But I don't know that they have...
They don't have the Tarantino. Like,
they're not going to spend 4 days because, like, oh no, the snow's going to be falling in this certain way, or it's not going to. Like, they're not going to do that. They're going to go, I've got a budget, I've got to hit it. That's good enough, or we'll CGI it in post.
Well, that was like the Russo brothers, the Wachowskis.
Yeah,
like they. I remember when the third Matrix, is that the one with the fight scene in the rain?
Yeah.
Now there's a family that'll make changes in post.
Yes, they will. Hey-o. Where Keanu, like, they did an interview with Keanu, and he was like, they spent like 2 days to get the drops of rain right. And what, initially when you see that interview and it's out of context, you're like, oh man, they were just way into it. And then, but you realize Keanu was like, they took 2 days to get the drops of rain right.
Yeah.
That's what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I don't want to get paid.
And when you've got directors that do have a discernible style or a unique style, I mean, they tend to be polarizing. Because if you don't like that style,
you're not going
to
like them.
Well, Stanley Kubrick is a prime example of someone who's got a very, very distinct style.
See, I like some, and feel. I like 80% of Kubrick stuff.
But
of the other stuff.
And Stanley Kubrick overshadows.
Yeah. And I know this is blasphemy in the film world. Not a Kubrick guy.
No, I totally get it.
I think his films, they just feel they feel so sterile. You know what I mean? Like, I never really feel like
they're cold. They are very cold.
I never really can get into the movie because it's so much about the movie.
Right. But I think it is one of those things. It's like, you know, The Shining is a prime example of like, that is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. That's not Stephen King's The Shining.
No.
That's Stanley Kubrick's.
Stephen King's even said that.
That's why he hates it.
Right.
That's why he hates it. But I also think it's like his style adds to the creep factor of that movie. That movie's creepy from the get-go, and nothing happened.
Yeah, from Jump Street.
His style is creepy.
Yep.
Yeah. He's got a very, you know,
He absolutely does. And I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm just saying he just doesn't do a lot for
me. He doesn't float your boat.
He's like U2.
Wes Anderson is another...
Like, people love U2, but they don't do a whole lot for me.
Joshua Tree, War, and Boy. After that, I'm out.
Unforgettable Fire. Come on.
No. Oh, wait.
That was before Joshua Tree... Friend. All right,
then fine. But those
that was part of the original trilogy.
Yeah. All right.
There is no, actually the original was Boy, October, October Boy, Boy October, War. Then Unforgettable Fire, Joshua Tree, and Unforgettable Fire is where In the Name of Love came out.
That's a good song. Damn, that's a good song.
And then Joshua Tree, and I was even like that because I was a huge early YouTube fan, like early like Play Mississippi
Nights
YouTube.
I liked them before they were cool.
And when War came out, you know, and then Joshua Tree came out, I was like, oh, because everybody like
that's Kate, when they jumped on the bandwagon. You
know, she's like, hey, check out U2. I was like, no.
When War came out, I remember thinking like, well, what is it good for?
Dong.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I remember De Palma. De Palma was the other one
He's got a very distinct.
Yeah.
Well, the thing kind of cribbed from someone else, but
kind of the thing is
another director has a very distinct style.
If you're gonna be like that, though, you gotta stick the landing.
Yep.
Like you can't.
And sometimes he would, and sometimes he wouldn't.
And that's true of any director. But like you can't be that guy that's gonna take 2 days to get the drops of rain right, and then put out Matrix 3.
Right.
You gotta put out Matrix 1.
Right. Wes Anderson, he is 100% like he's got a style.
Yeah, he does.
And
I'm kidding. it's a piece of crap style, but he's got a style.
It's not a piece of crap style. I just feel like he's gone to that well one too many times.
Every time?
I think that's the only well he's ever.
Yeah.
Like at this point, I'm like,
that well's almost dry.
Which is funny because it's like, then it does come down to the story, which is like, I have a lot of friends who are huge Wes Anderson fans and they love Moonrise Kingdom. And I'm like, nah, I didn't think it was that good. And even though it had his playful, it had all the elements, all the things, it's like Tim Burton, he had all the right things, but I was like, it's not that good of a story.
Yeah.
Versus like
the hotel one.
Yeah. The hotel
Budapest,
one.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
And then that came out. I was like, see, but the story beneath all of that, beneath all the gimmicks and the stuff that he does, I was like, the story was good. Like, it was a good, compelling story. So, you know, if he doesn't have a good story, then it's just kind of his
just flary.
Yeah. So. Mm.
Tangents. Yeah.
His next movie is cast entirely with Happy Meal toys.
I would love that. You know? And we get like we get Mayor McCheese.
You get Baby Kermit.
I would totally do. Bill Murray could be Mayor McCheese. I think it'd be
Bill
awesome.
Bill Murray could be Mayor McCheese.
You know? And you could get Willem Dafoe to be the Hamburglar. This is it was gold, man. Right now, you guys are thinking, well, this is actually...
Trademark it quick.
You know, maybe get Adrian Brody to go all method and be Grimace. I'm just saying.
He puts on 90 pounds.
This is good
dyes
stuff.
Dyes his own skin purple.
This is good stuff.
Wow. Adrian Brody just went for it, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay, so number five, Storks made $8 million.
My kid liked it. My mother-in-law was like, it was loud. There was a lot going, like, just a lot. And I realized, like, I feel like Lego, as much as I dug Lego Movie,
yeah,
that is a sensory overload of a movie. And I just wonder if that's the new Warner Brothers. Like, we're just going to throw everything at you.
Just make it loud.
Just make it loud and lots of lights and
lots of cacophony.
Right. Yeah, she liked it. She thought it was funny. My wife liked it and thought it was funny. Mother-in-law was like, I had to look away from the screen.
So the stores are delivering babies, I'm assuming that's what's
going on? They are no longer delivering babies. So they're like,
they're on
Amazon.
They're on striking. Like delivering, they're striking stores.
Yeah, they're striking. Well, no, like they deliver like packages. I think was my, and so there's this one baby that gets left behind who grows up with the storks.
Right.
And then there's another baby that shows up that they have to get to a family. That's as far as I can get you. I was taking that synopsis from a 5-year-old. So
that's,
you know,
yeah, I was just thinking when you have a kid's movie about storks that deliver babies, you know what that means?
Yeah.
No prequels.
Nope. Can't do it.
Can't,
sorry.
Can't. Nope.
Then you have to have that talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those movies I was like, when you see the trailer, it was like that Robinson Crusoe movie. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a movie.
And then you're like, oh, did that come out?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. I mean,
apparently, Storks came out.
It did.
Yeah.
So
I guess it did all right.
It's been
something
out for 3 weeks.
Came out or there wouldn't be Storks. Hey! They wouldn't have a job.
Oh. Okay.
You walked right into it.
Yeah,
you
did. I did.
Nah.
Stop.
No one to blame but yourself.
Taking it.
I'm the
far.
Victim here.
All right. Okay. Number six. The Birth of a Nation, not
did that
without
come out?
Some.
Yeah. I'm serious. I didn't realize that was out already.
$7.5 million. I think it, I guess this is its first week out, and it's not without a little controversy, so I don't think it's going to.
Not because of the film itself, though, but.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like we've had this happen a few times with movies. So, you know, like Powder is another one. Do you remember when I
came out? Oh, yeah. The director was a convicted pedophile. But see, here's
really?
Here's the difference here. Yeah. And I'm not overly, and like that movie was supposed to be a big hit.
It was.
And it was a Disney movie. And then they just had, wasn't it Disney?
I think so.
And then they kind of had a tail on it.
Touchstone.
Yeah, it was like in that family. But, you know, here's the thing is like this dude was tried and acquitted.
You're right.
Like,
right. I mean. In a court of law, like that's...
And you can't on the one hand say, it's so hard for a black man to get a fair trial in this country, and then when one gets acquitted, go, not good enough.
Yep. You're totally right.
I don't know that he's handled it best from a PR standpoint, but how do you handle it best when, you know, because, like, basically they want him to come out and apologize, and he's like, but I was acquitted. I didn't
right.
do
I have to
it.
Apologize.
And, you know, at one point he was like, you know, I made some choices that today... As
Who was the director?
It's Nate Parker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's just like, you know, I wouldn't have done that today, but I was.
I would also say though,
I
mean,
and
like
I might be off slightly on the age, but I think he was in college.
Yeah. Right. And this is in a way an endorsement for either of these guys for what they've done. But I mean, you got Roman Polanski which
is just
continues to be
they fawn and fall head over heel for that guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, bring him into the country and see what happens.
Yeah. You know, and it's
like, that's right, he
can't.
Let's
take it back to the core incident. I know that the girl who's obviously not a girl anymore, she's a grown woman, and
she committed suicide.
No.
What?
Polanski's. No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about.
Okay.
No.
I'm talking about the Birth of a Nation guy.
Oh, okay.
The woman that accused him of rape has committed suicide, which of course then people interpret as it must be true,
right?
Or you know,
well, yeah. This is more about the court.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting because like Polanski is continued to
totally
won an Oscar. Worship won an Oscar, and it's like. Yeah, but, you know.
Woody Allen, in my opinion, is still, he's in the same boat, too.
Woody, the same thing. It's like whoa.
Yeah.
No.
Like,
man.
You married your own adopted daughter.
Well, he never adopted her.
No, she did, right?
The Mia Farrow adopted.
Mia Farrow did it.
And he was certainly in her life as something of a father figure. Like, it's just, it's not as cut and dried as
I guess that's
people
true.
Like to make it out to be.
No.
But it's certainly skeevy. But and I say that.
And Mia Farrow should not be throwing mud either. Like, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you hooked up with Frank Sinatra while you were married to Woody Allen. And it's just like, he can't deny that kid.
Yeah.
Well, like, that kid looks like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that whole situation is just a muck.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, number 7 has no drama attached to it. Middle school, the worst years of my life.
Oh.
With $7 million.
Cool.
And I don't... Is that
I don't know. I think
heard,
it was a book.
I heard the star stole somebody's lunch money.
What a bully.
I know. Like, this is an outrage.
This will not be tolerated. Yes.
I think that's one of those, like, middle school.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Diary of a Wimpy Kid
kind of
thing.
It's got the mom.
They didn't
from
screen
Girls.
It, which I wanted to go. I was going to take my son who just started middle school.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
And the mom from Gilmore Girls is always a win.
It's a shame because he's 16.
We'll get there, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Number 8, Sully. $5.1 million. It's fifth week.
That's hanging out around there. Yeah.
It's still out there. It's, you know, over 3,000 screens. So, you know. Again, we know with this audience, it takes a while.
They'll get there.
I'm waiting for the crowds to die down.
I just want to see what my AARP magazine has to say about it.
For the crowds to die.
Yeah.
I trust their reviews. So, yeah, I mean, well, that's because they're getting their reviews in
the
mail.
They're confused. They think to go see the movie, they have to go get pre-registered for a TSA screen.
Yeah. No, this is what you're supposed to do.
So it's
you have a really odd old person.
I know.
I don't know what was happening there.
It's old time.
Yeah, $113 million total. So
that's pretty good.
Weeks, it's pretty good. I mean, it's
another solid Tom Hanks hit, I guess.
Yeah, you guys saw it. I did not see it.
Yeah,
it was good.
It's kind of like Lone Survivor. You probably never go see it again.
Clint Eastwood, at this point, you know, it's like.
Name another director who this deep into his career is directing $100 million movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
the guy is.
He's bankable.
A machine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I know he's done with Westerns, but he's one that's like.
One more time.
There's one guy out there who is qualified.
Yeah.
You know,
but that
100%.
Being said, like, God, he's. What do you even say?
I don't even know what
say.
He would do.
That's, yeah,
I mean, I think he. I mean, after Unforgiven, I was like,
that's it.
Well, damn. I mean, because he blew it up. He blew up the genre.
Yeah. I think somebody said that on our Facebook wall. We were talking, going back and forth with somebody. And he just said he couldn't see another Western after Unforgiven.
Right.
Yeah. He just completely obliterated the.
Right.
You know. So, but it's one of those things. It's like he is like one of our like he is the tie. To that world.
Yeah.
He's the last one.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, for sure.
Started on Rawhide.
Right.
Yeah, Rowdy Yates.
Right, yeah.
Wasn't even a sexual euphemism back then.
Rowdy Yates. Okay, number 9, Masterminds. $4 million, and I don't know what this movie is.
I don't know what that is.
It's second week out. It's a total take of $12.7 million. It's on 3,000. Oh, is this the one with
it's Zach Galifianakis. I'll tell you what, man.
When
I went to go see Girl on a Train.
And Jason Sudeikis is in
Jason
this?
Sudeikis. Yeah. The every showing of Masterminds was sold out.
Really?
Every showing. I was shocked.
This is, I don't know, one of those offbeat comedies that they maybe didn't know how to market?
It could be.
Or
I mean, I think,
screen?
So I think this is the one with...
Maybe they screened it. I don't
this
know.
Is the,
I should know. I do the calendar. But I also look at it as like, hey, look at all these movies I can't see.
I think this is the one with... Oh, no. That's Zach Galifianakis and Isla Fisher?
Isla?
With Isla? Sure.
Sorry.
Not Amy Adams?
Not Amy Adams. Hey, Isla Fisher stands on her own.
She does.
Go Sasha.
That's the one with Gal Gadot and
John Hamm.
That's the other one.
Yeah, Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Okay, all right.
Which honestly, I saw the trailer and I don't usually
John Hamm is very funny
at comedies or trailers of comedies and. I laughed when I saw that.
There was
that.
A movie that came out a few years ago with, I think, David Duchovny called Keeping Up with the Joneses or Keeping Up with the Jones or something like that.
Oh, really?
It was an interesting premise for a film, and it was that David Duchovny, and I forget who played his wife, but she was like a really pretty blonde, and they would move into neighborhoods, right? And like wealthy neighborhoods, upper middle class. And
keep changing your story.
And they would
the HUD houses.
And yeah, then right. They would move to upper middle class neighborhoods, and they would like buy all these fancy things, right? And the idea was that they were making a living, and it was like grassroots marketing. And so they would move into a neighborhood where all these people had lots of disposable income,
yeah,
and be like, oh, well, the new Lexus. It's
oh.
And like, oh, like this. Like, and they were like,
that's
spies.
So weird.
But spies for marketing. And it was basically, so they were, it was like aspirational marketing. And it was yeah. like everybody wanted to be like this family because they were so poor. Huh. And like they were all actors.
Was it good?
It was solid. Like, yeah. It was like, I forget why it kind of falls apart at the end, but it was like really interesting. Like the kids were hired actors, and oh. It was, so everybody had to appear huh. perfect. Like Johnny's on the football team,
yeah.
And like, well, or whatever, you know?
Huh.
And
I want to see that.
Now. Yeah. It was like, yeah. Especially given what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah. But yeah, it was another one that's hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
He can either put out a complete turd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's you know. How I feel about David Duchovny.
Yeah.
And you wonder why one. He won't love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I also, he's one of those ones. It's like, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, that the reboot of X-Files.
Is it a reboot?
Yeah.
Well, okay. The
Return?
Return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie was just called The Joneses.
The Joneses. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
All right. What year?
2009.
Oof.
Oh, all right.
Man.
Well, he was just still doing Californication, which wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, when they brought the X-Files back.
Yeah. That's his bread and butter.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like, it was good. It was good. The chemistry was there.
Yep.
You know, there was, I mean, it was only, what, 6 episodes?
Yeah. Which
there
is exactly what it should have been.
And there was a couple, like a couple stellar ones. And yeah. It's like, okay, I think they're going to do it again. And I think they're going to do more the next time.
Dang it.
But I think it was okay. They also did kind of sideways introduce, like, the future, you know.
X-Files people.
Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
Because they had, what's her name, from 6 Feet Under.
Oh, they did.
Who has red hair? I mean, like, yeah, literally, right. I was like, wow,
Lauren Ambrose.
Lauren Ambrose, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but I thought it was pretty well done. I mean, you know.
And I was wrong. She wasn't blonde. It was Demi Moore.
Ah,
way okay. off.
But yeah, it says Kate, Steve, Mick, and Jen Jones move into an upscale suburb under the pretense of being a typical family, relocating because of the changing nature of Kate's and Steve's careers. In reality, Kate is the leader of a team of stealth marketers. Professional salespeople who disguise product placement as daily routine.
Huh.
Their clothing, accessories, furniture, and even food are carefully planned and stocked by various companies to create visibility in a desirable consumer market. While Kate's team is highly effective, Steve is new to the team. Jen is a closet nymphomaniac with a penchant for hitting on her fake fathers, and 30-day review is fast approaching.
All right.
Okay, so it's sort of like the Truman Show in reverse.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a clever premise.
Hmm. Yeah. And then number 10, Queen of Katwe, with a sad $1.5 million in its third week. Their total takes $5.2 million. I mean, Disney.
Oh, that's that chess movie.
It's a chess movie. Which I thought looked, I mean, when I, you know, saw bits and pieces of it, like, that looks really good.
Yeah, it's one of those Disney, you know, inspirational.
Yeah, we talked about their inspirational sports movies.
Yeah. I think they should stick with it. I mean, it's
oh yeah, they're not going to stop.
No, it's one of those, it's like they're one of their little like swim lanes that they
right.
like, they dip into every couple years.
Right.
But
you got Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte in the Marvel Star Wars, and then you got, you know, somebody else. It was just like, yeah, we'll just keep going.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, so
we'll get there.
But yeah, it's, I mean, they do it. I don't chime in on politics because, I mean, I have a lot of people who are friends who are all over the map. But the one thing I said, I go, I think for tonight's debate, because, you know, this is Sunday, I go, all Hillary needs to do is to walk out and then just face Donald Trump and stare at him. And that's all she needs to do.
Yeah. I don't know how she does not have this locked up.
But, and then I also said something to, you know, I was just like, if you really, 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 really have to hate somebody to to vote for Biff Tannen from Back to the Future 2.
Right. The worst,
not one.
The worst Biff Tannen.
The mean.
Yeah.
The, you know, and the one that Bob Gale has flat out said.
Is based on, even
based on Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I'm watching the movie in real time, and I'm like, well, that's Donald Trump. You know, it's a casino. He's got the hair. Hotel, like, it was never shebang. A secret. Yeah.
But I was just like, I'm like, Back to the Future 2. Not the one in the malt shop. I mean, 2.
He's young. There's still hope. It could go either way.
Yeah. No.
He's like, yeah. 2.
That's about as politic.
That's
political as I want to get.
I will say, Alec Baldwin, killing it.
Yeah, he is.
Man,
he's all
that
in.
Is.
I think he's, you know, Alec Baldwin, you know, I think he's like sort of redirect. I think it's because of his new wife and his yoga and everything. He's redirected his rage into like this.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's nailing
it.
And I think they were
so
right
good.
To, my first thought was like, oh man, Daryl Hammond is on the show every week now. Like,
right.
I thought it made perfect sense to let him reassume Trump.
Come back as
but
Trump.
But I think it's smart to make the shift because Daryl Hammond's Trump is a lovable oaf.
Right.
This, and this guy's
and that
not,
is not what we got on
no,
our hands
no,
here. That
not,
is not.
Not doing
he can
this.
Come back as Bill.
Yeah.
Show up as Bill Clinton every once in a while.
Yeah. They're probably, maybe they're baking on that. They're
they can't do both.
Back,
yeah.
So.
Although they had Dana Carvey do Perot and Bush
at the same time.
At the same time.
That's pretty good.
And he pre-taped, I think, the Bush stuff. And then David Spade played him in cutaways.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Because I remember David Spade tells a story where he's like, they're putting me in the Perot makeup, and he's like, hey, I'm going to get to this. I'm going to be in a I'm going to be in the open. I'm going to get to do a big, I'll be doing this every week. And then they're like, no, Carvey already recorded all this. You're just the same size.
That's awesome.
So stand over there, and we're going to shoot the back of your head.
Yeah. You know, we just have the biggest gap between that and when he does the Hollywood Minute and the news time. So they're like, well, we got Spade sitting around till halfway, so we'll just do this. Anyway, that's it, the box office report.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will quickly go around the table. I say quickly because there's just three of us, and say where to find you.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS 21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Q.
Did you have a stroke?
What happened? I started to go into my my work contact.
I mean, you can do that if you want.
No,
you plug
I don't
the work on here. It's
I don't
fine.
Want them to call me at work. I got things to do. So you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online or leave us a lovely review on iTunes, you can do that as well. But you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. So there you go. That's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle the girl on the train, which is hard because she's on a train. And
Gone Girl Part 2.
Yeah. And until then, you've been warned.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.